I'd like you to turn, please, in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 18. The text I am taking is two verses, basically, verses 19 and 20 of Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said, "Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, in the context of this statement of Christ's, the theme and what he's really dealing with is the subject of church discipline. That's a very touchy subject, even still. There's no doubt that great wisdom is needed in matters of church discipline. But what you will notice here is the very strong emphasis on prayer. The Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes the vital importance of prayer in matters of discipline. It's not only to be prominent, it's to be first and foremost. Notice it says in verse 19, "If any shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask," anything, that's the word there to underline, anything. Not just particular things, one or two or several or half a dozen or more, anything. That scope covers every subject imaginable in matters of discipline in the Church of Jesus Christ. So it's prayer vital in all circumstances. It has to be. What the Lord is really talking about is the church prayer meeting. The church prayer meeting. And by this text and these verses, our Lord Jesus is putting his seal upon the church prayer meeting, the most poorly attended meeting in the calendar of the Church of God worldwide. Usually that's the situation anyhow. This prayer meeting in the New Testament church is really a carry through from the Old Testament. In the book of Acts, there are many other portions, of course, we could look to, but in the book of Acts chapter 3, let me just turn to it. It tells us there in verse 1, "Peter and John went up together," there's the thought of oneness, "into the temple at the hour of prayer," being the ninth hour. In the Old Testament, there were two periods of daily prayer. One was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the one that Peter and John were at. The other was at 9 in the morning. The ninth hour here mentioned is 3 in the afternoon. And the thing to note here, folks, is that this meeting is separate from other services, from other meetings. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, for example, the chapter 16, here's what it says about this theme in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week," notice that. Seventh-day Adventists need to notice this. "Let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come," the Lord's day. And if you check with 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll be actually carrying this out in a short way that has to do with the Lord's Supper, it says there in verse 20, "When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." Acts chapter 20, bearing that verse there in mind, just go to Acts 20 for a moment, or let me do it and read the text. I want to be sure I get it. Acts chapter 20, and that's the verse 7. I notice what it says here. Acts 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, listen, to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. That was a long sermon. You'll not be getting that this morning. You know about the young man that was listening, and he fell asleep, and he fell and killed himself, and Paul had to perform that miracle. That's another story. But the point is this: the Lord's Supper, the collection for the saints and the worship together, that was the Lord's day. The prayer meetings were held on other days, not on the Sunday in that sense, the church prayer meeting. The book of Acts again, and the chapter, I think it's chapter 1, it is, yes, Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That was not Sunday. That was a separate gathering on a separate day for prayer. This church, as all our churches in the Free Church, have the same procedure. We have the Sunday services, the worship services, the Lord's table. And then on a separate night in the week, whether it be Monday, as it is with some, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, it's a separate meeting apart from the Sunday services. And it's a vital part, folks, of church life. It is our duty, our responsibility, and it ought to be, in all honesty, our desire to be at the church prayer meeting. And if we miss it, never go at all, we're missing out with God, I have to say that. So important. This meeting commenced at the Ascension, 40 days after the resurrection. So there were definite days other than Sunday when the church met for prayer. This church meets on a Thursday, separate from the Sunday services. As far as lies within us, we ought to be there. And certainly, if you're a church member, you have a special responsibility. It's a contradiction in terms to be a member of the church in this particular denomination and not be at a prayer meeting ever. There's something wrong. And there are some churches who hold a very strong position in this. And if you don't attend, you could lose your membership. That doesn't apply here, but I'm just saying that in some it does. But that's how important it is. It's absolutely vital for your own spiritual life and for the witness of the church. I want to speak on the subject. I want to call the first point the importance of the prayer meeting. The importance of the prayer meeting. It's not just, you know, an afterthought in the church calendar. Matthew 18 and 20, Jesus reminds us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is a gathering of believers. It's describing a prayer meeting. Now note the attraction in this meeting. They are gathered in my name. That should bring you. That alone should encourage you. He's with us in this meeting. Way back in the book of Genesis and the chapter 49. Any of you are familiar with Genesis, you'll know this chapter anyway. But in chapter 49 of Genesis and the verse 10. Genesis 49 and verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's the prayer meeting. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And then across there in the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I think it is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 of the second chapter, it reads like this. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through him. Folks, if there's anything that should attract you and I to the prayer meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ, it's the fact the Lord is there. They are gathered in my name, he says. Because he's there, we should be there. Notice not only the attraction in prayer here, but the assembling in prayer. Note, there were two or three. That's not very large. But it's not speaking, you see, about closet prayer, about going in by yourself, your own prayer. That's a separate subject. There has to be a plurality. And there will be in the church prayer meeting. I'm wondering, are you one of them? Am I one of them that come to the place of prayer? You notice also the unity that's there when they're gathered together. Peter and John. And you know, Peter and John were very different characters altogether. They were like chalk and cheese in their character and their nature and their temperament. But when it come to the matter of prayer, they went together. You see, you must put aside petty differences when you're in the place of prayer. Union with Jesus Christ is the thing that brings us together. Paul writes to the Galatian Christians, and he says there in chapter 3, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. I love that text. All one. Doesn't matter what color a man's skin is, what his cultural background is, anything about him at all, irrelevant. If he's in Christ, doesn't matter what church you belong to in that sense. Doesn't matter. Just as long as for Calvary you stand, if your soul has been washed in the fountain, you're my brother. I take your hand. And I know Christians, and I'm sure you do too, who wouldn't shake hands with other Christians. And folks, that before God is an abomination. You must love your brethren. You don't have to like them all. Oh no. But you've got to love them. There's a big difference. Then you see, we're all different, but we're one. Then there's the aspects in prayer. Most importantly, we have in the prayer meeting, well, I've mentioned it, the presence of the Lord. He says, there am I in the midst. Two or three, that allows for an increase from two to three. That's an increase of 50%. Imagine if the prayer meeting in this church increased by 50%. You'd have a fairly good attendance, wouldn't you? That's the way it should be. In the book of Zechariah, if I can get it handy here, yes. The book of Zechariah, the chapter 8. Here's what it says there. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 21 and 22. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. What a day that will be, millennial reign. They'll be coming from all over the place to the one place. What for? To worship God. And brother and sister in the church, we should be coming together to the one place to seek the Lord in the place of prayer. That's the lesson here. That says to me and underlines to me the importance of the prayer meeting. But what about then the implications of the prayer meeting? Why pray at all? A person said to me one time when I was trying to explain to her what Calvinism was and what the doctrines of Calvin believed and were, and she said to me, "But if you believe that only the elect of God are going to be saved, why do you need to pray?" Well, the simple answer to that is this. We need to pray because God told us to. The Lord Jesus prayed all night on one occasion. And the very next day, he chose the 12 apostles after a night of prayer. Now, Jesus knew from all eternity who the 12 disciples were going to be. But he still felt the need to pray. And folks, if our Lord Jesus felt the need to pray, how much more do we? You know, before every important decision, before everything you want to think about, you need to pray to seek the will of God. When I left Newton Arch Church as a student, I didn't want to leave. The church called me unanimously to stay on. But then the church in Dungannon did the same thing. And I was in a quandary. What did I do? I prayed. I prayed earnestly. In my heart, at the start, I wanted to stay. Newton Arch was a lovely wee church. Great place to be. I really enjoyed myself there. But as I prayed, the Lord began to speak. Now, I didn't come across a scripture that says, "You shall move to Dungannon," or "You shall move west of the Ban." No, none of that. But God gave me scripture that was so clear, time and again. "Be of good courage and do it." Was one text. "And the Lord will go with thee, whithersoever you'll go." I knew when I prayed, I got the answer as to what I was to do because I prayed. My friend said, "Brother, you don't want to go up there." At that particular time, unfortunately, there was big trouble and the church was split. And I knew, but I always remember my first Sunday night in Dungannon when I did go. We had three sets of pews, two there and one in the middle. You put 10 people in the middle and 8 on their sides. There were only five pews in the middle at the back where anybody was at all. And then I said, "Oh dear. Lord, you've told me to come here. I hope I'm doing the right thing." That worked out all right. But I had to pray to find out. I just didn't sit down and weigh up. I wonder what they're paying me up in Dungannon. I wonder what the terms and conditions are in Dungannon. That wasn't even a consideration. But the will of God sought for in prayer for weeks on end. That's what was the key. And so it is with you. Every decision you'll make, even to change your job, even to consider what university young people want to go to, what subject they want to study, I believe you should pray. For the Bible says, "In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." You pray because it's the will of God. That's it. Not only should you desire to do it, and when you miss a time, as I have done, and we all have done, You really feel it. It hurts. But oh, a precious time. I always rise early anyway. But on Sunday, I'm up very early. And I just go downstairs, make a coffee to wake me up a bit, do my reading in the scriptures. Every day I try to read an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, and two Psalms. That's my daily routine. Doesn't suit everybody, but it suits me. And then I go into the living room and get before God and pray. And usually there's nobody up or about, either in the house or out of it. It's very quiet, but it's a lovely time. And I just love that time. I loved it this morning. I love it every morning I'm able to do it, especially the Lord's Day. Oh, it's good, folks. Listen, it's good to pray, but it's the will of God. But there's a lovely word found there in verse 19. If two of you shall agree, get that word? It's very hard now, isn't it, to get agreement? You married folk, you know all about this. Getting agreement sometimes is very difficult. But it's lovely when it happens, isn't it? That word means in this context, in this passage, in the original, it has the thought of sounding together. It's musical instruments playing in harmony. You remember the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son and his elder brother? The elder brother heard music. That's the same idea. It was music that was agreeing. There's nothing worse than to hear an orchestra and they're everywhere. They're not playing in harmony at all. It's like singing's the same thing, and I've heard both, and it's not pleasant sometimes. But sounding together. That word in Luke is a derived noun from the original word, and it carries that thought, harmony. Oh, it is good for brethren, yes, to dwell together in unity and to be of one mind and one place, and that's the place of prayer. Now, in meetings, at least some people need to pray audibly. I always like to emphasize the fact that if you didn't pray in the prayer meeting, but you prayed from your heart, the Lord hears you just as well as he does when somebody prays outwardly. But some have to pray audibly, because how could there be agreement among the saints if they didn't know anything anybody else was praying about? There has to be audible prayer in order for an amen to be heard, for agreement to be there. Has to be the case. In verse 19 of Matthew 18, the word ask appears. Anything they shall ask. Now that should bring you to a lovely thought. Is it Luke chapter 11? Let me just check it here. I think it's Luke 11. And verse 9, I think it is. Yes. The Lord Jesus is speaking. Here's what he says. And I say unto you, ask. Now you have the voice of prayer, don't you? Ask. Say it out. Then he says, seek, and ye shall find. Surely that speaks of the vision we have in prayer. And then it says, knock, knocketh, it shall be open. There's the vigor. You're not just whispering this. There's a passion in our praying. It was said of David Brainerd, the missionary to the Indians in America, that when he prayed in the forest in the snow, for feet around him, the snow melted. Such was the passion of the prayers of Brainerd. And Indians all around him in the trees with their spears raised and their arrows drawn to end his life. But he prayed on and he wasn't touched. What passion? The word itself indicates here in Matthew 18 a lowly position. It's someone who takes up a lower station than the one that he's asking. In other words, it's like a child from a parent. Now, your child will come to you without fear and ask you for anything. There's no limitation on what the weigh-in will look for, is there? Unless your children and grandchildren are different from mine, they'll just come and they'll ask you what they want for, what they want. Usually in our house with the grandchildren, it's, I want sweeties. That's one of the big wants. But they've no reticence about asking for it. So it is with God. But the difference, of course, is it's the subject asking from the king. From the king. But Jesus said, ask anything in my name. Don't be afraid to plead with God for what you need and what you want. The implications of the prayer meeting. The importance of the prayer meeting. And then, of course, there's that thought, lastly, of the increasing of the prayer meeting. When blessing comes, prayer increases, doesn't it? I have noticed that a church that's in blessing, lots of people pray. I preached in a church a number of years ago. There wouldn't have been half the number of people that are here this morning. But before the service started, about 90%, now that's a big percentage, about 90% of the morning congregation that were certainly adult or older teens and young people were in the prayer meeting. And it was the same at night. They were in the prayer meeting. What a, listen friend, that thrills the heart of any preacher. That fills your soul with thanksgiving and encouragement when you see that. That's the way it should be everywhere. I'm sure you haven't failed to notice that in the upper room, when the fire of God fell, the whole church was there. The 120, that was the lot. And 30 years after that day, it was said that the whole world was evangelized. Think of that. What an amazing thing. Can God do it today? Oh, absolutely. The Lord is able to do it. In fact, the Bible says he can do much more than this. I would love to see the prayer meetings in our church and all our churches increased. But I know also you can't browbeat folk. I'm only trying to tell you what the scripture suggests and what we should be. And the Lord can speak to the hearts of us all. And I trust he will, and we get a desire as a people to pray. Especially when you have the task of calling a minister. How would you fare coming to a congregational meeting to call a minister when you never prayed with the church about the minister or about who to call? It would be, to say the least, it would be a strange thing. So let's consider these issues. And let the Lord do his work in our midst.